Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 1. As you turn there, now some of you may be turning in your electronic devices, and that's wonderful. We have those in Columbus also. So as we go into the book of Ephesians here, this first chapter, a little bit of an introduction. Paul is the writer. Obviously, the Holy Spirit is the author. He's speaking clearly to Paul. The Holy Scriptures were given to us by holy men of God that were moved by the Holy Spirit of God. And the Bible is used for our instruction, for in our directions, also for correction. And we must yield to that. But as you look through the book of Ephesians, I want to encourage you. There's a few just I want to give us a quick outline on the whole book. Chapters 1 through 3 are the believer's principles. It's what we base our Christianity upon, the principles. And then chapters 4, 5, and 6 are the believer's practices. It's what how we are to live our lives for His glory. Now, we have to be careful. I want to caution all of us as we look through this book, because as Christ Himself wrote in Revelation chapter 2, if we're not careful in our Christian life, we can fall victim to the believer's plague. Where we read there in Revelation chapter 2, where the church had lost its first love. Ladies and gentlemen, the world, if we haven't noticed, can entice us and pull us away from focusing on who it is that we're to glorify, and it is the Lord Himself. I love what Michaela is saying, selfishness. There's no room for selfishness in the believer's heart, although we quite often fall guilty of that, don't we? Very, very quickly. So as we look at the book of Ephesians, we have to focus on the believer's principles, the believer's practices, but also be cautious of the plague of which we could fall into. But oh, dear friends, as you read through the book of Ephesians, we see the believer's privileges. And please don't ever lose sight of that. Ephesians chapter number 1, we'll begin reading in verse 1 and we'll do some more dialogue. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and Monclova, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. And we have that promise, ladies and gentlemen, that one day He will bring us home. Let not your heart be troubled. How many of you have ever faced a situation or a crisis in your life? And the words of Jesus echo in our hearts, you know, out of John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. For it's in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go and I prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself. That way where I am, you may be also. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the promise of Jesus Christ that He will one day come home and bring us home. Mel, when you were saying that, those words just echoed in my heart that He will, whatever we're facing today, will pass away. And we have this promise. But although, ladies and gentlemen, how many of you sometimes can relate to Thomas? Right? Doubting Thomas? Lord, how do we know the way? Right? We don't know where you're going. Have you ever gone through a situation or a crisis in your life and say, God, what are you doing in my life right now? What am I going to do? And we put our hope in, Jesus looks at Thomas and said, oh, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. Ladies and gentlemen, we're here today because of Jesus. Amen? Because of Jesus. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Amen? So we look at these great words of Paul now as we follow through. I want to talk about the church for just a minute. You see, Paul was writing to this dear saints in Ephesus, right? And to the dear saints in Ephesus and the faithful in Jesus Christ. He was writing to the church. And ladies and gentlemen, today, the world has a different perspective of what the church is. If you look at it in a general general perspective, the world just looks at it differently. Like the church, how many of you realize that a lot of folks just take the church extremely lightly? But I'm here to tell you that Jesus doesn't. Jesus doesn't. The church is not an organization, although many people like to make it that, an organization, but it's not. Like, this is Monclova Road Baptist Church. I remember when Pastor Marin made the decision to change the name from Southside Baptist Church to Monclova Road Baptist Church. What a great decision. See, because it gives the location. Where is Monclova Road Baptist Church? Monclova Road. Right? So Monclova Road is location, Baptist is denomination, and church is not organization, it's a living organism. The church is alive, amen? The church is alive. Look to the person next to you and say, you're alive. Come on, you're alive. Wake up, you're alive. Check for a pulse. Ladies and gentlemen, the church of Jesus Christ is alive. Amen? And so Paul is writing to the church and the dear saints of Ephesus. And as I stood out in the hallway this morning and walking through the pews, the aisles, all the dear saints of Monclova, many of you I remember, some of you are new, and it's just great to be here. It's great to be here. I do ask you to pray for Central Baptist Church, our church back in Columbus. Nate Steck, many of you remember Nate Steck. He's preaching all services there this morning, doing a fabulous job. The church at Central, I covet and I appreciate all your prayers. Yesterday, what an amazing day. You see, the church is alive. We do this thing called the Mid-Ohio Food Bank. We work with them. Our church is an urban church. Some would call us an inner city church, but it's an urban church. We're inside the belt. And the second Saturday of every month, they drop off about 5.5 to 6 tons of fresh produce. About 30 of our church members on the average, they work volunteering to register individuals, pray for individuals, give the gospel to individuals, and distribute fresh produce. Yesterday, we had 197 families represented coming through our doors, which was probably close to 400 people, with a total of numbers of individuals that were affected by the food of almost 600, and it was distributed in an hour and a half. Amen? You know, the living organism there is Central. You see, we use the organization of Mid-Ohio Food Bank to meet the physical needs, but God uses the living organism of Central Baptist Church to meet the spiritual needs. And we work together for the glory of God. I'll be given several questions during the message, but as here at Monclova, man, it's so important that we work together for the glory of God, that we come together as one. The church is the body, we are one, and Jesus Christ is the head, of which you read there in the book of Ephesians. So I want to encourage you, when you go home sometime today, to read through the book of Ephesians this week. It'll be sometime today. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And all God's children said, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, how many of you here today would say that God has blessed your life? He's blessed you. Have we had struggles? Sure we have. But ladies and gentlemen, we have been blessed. If you're taking an outline, we're blessed. It's real simple in this passage. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings. Where? In heavenly places. The blessings have just begun. Amen? What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon the face of the one who saved me by his grace. Amen? When we get to heaven, heavenly blessings. But until then, we embrace the blessings we have now. So ladies and gentlemen, as we go through this passage, how many of you can say that you've been blessed? We've been blessed. Amen? Now, maybe on the way here, it was stressful. I see, where we live in Columbus, the church, we live right next door. It's a tough commute. But we live right next door. It's great. They ask, well, Pastor, if there's heavy snow, are you going to close church? No. I'm just going to bring a shovel. But we're blessed. And we go there in church, and we look at our people. We say, we are so blessed. Now, for some of you folks on your way to church, maybe it was stressful. I don't know if you have some traffic and things like that. Remember, I remember what it was like bringing, getting all the kids in the car and, you know, being real spiritual, right? Get in, shut up, hurry up, run around, run around. Oh, hi, how you doing? What a great day. We're blessed. We are blessed. Verse number four. According as he hath chosen us in him. So we could say, according to the scriptures, ladies and gentlemen, we are blessed and you have been chosen by God. Now, look, I'm not going to get into that. A lot of folks want to talk about that debate with the predestination because that word's in there also. I know this for a fact. You are here today because God has chosen this place for you. Amen? It's called the sovereignty of God. You're here because he has chosen. Well, some people may have given. How many of you here got just kind of tricked into being here? There's food. Amen. Right? We have some, well, we're not going to talk about the unstable preacher. But hey, you know what? I'm glad you're here. There's no question. We've been chosen to be here today. So we've been blessed. We've been chosen. More importantly, Paul was talking to the saints in Ephesus, otherwise being the believers, Christians, in the church. And God, ladies and gentlemen, if you're sitting here today and you are a Christian is a follower of Jesus Christ. I've never yet met a perfect Christian. Never. But a Christian is someone who follows a perfect Christ and makes their life right with others when it's necessary, which is typically daily. We've been chosen to be here today. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian or you're just not sure, remember Thomas? Come on, he lived with Jesus for several years. He followed Jesus and said, how do we know the way? Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, I've met people that they know their Bible, they've been in church their whole life, but Christianity is a religion to them and not a relationship. And I've met many, many, many wonderful, wonderful religious people, good people. They don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you're not sure of your standings with Jesus Christ, it's not me, it's not anybody sitting around you, please yield yourself to the Holy Spirit of God and let Him move in your life today. You've been chosen to be here, and there's a reason. So we've been blessed, we've been chosen. I love this passage. We'll keep reading. Chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame in Him in love. Now, listen, if you're here today and you are a Christian, there's something here that's important. As Christians, we're supposed to be holy. Amen? Be holy, for he that has called you is holy. Otherwise, without blame. Doesn't mean perfect. Doesn't mean sinless. Ladies and gentlemen, I am a sinner. Saved by grace. And there's times we have to humble ourselves and go before people and ask for forgiveness because we make mistakes. Ladies and gentlemen, each one of us here have fallen into sin and we need His saving grace. But Paul is saying Jesus Christ has saved us for a reason to be holy without blame. And we have that opportunity to ask for forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Verse 5, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. This passage is it's mind-boggling to me. It is God's will that he receives you unto himself. He wants you. I have to share a testimony of our church in Columbus. Probably about 3 months ago, Dave and Sandy. About 3 months ago, so on a Sunday night, there's this couple, they came up and they sat right here, right front row. He's a big guy. I mean, he's a big guy. I mean, he's a big guy, and he's big. About 6'3", probably close to 300 pounds, solid as a rock. And they're there, and the first time visitors, I'm meeting with them, we're talking, had a great service. We have snack nights for the whole church every other week at our church. Ladies and gentlemen, some people in our church don't eat much because they don't have much. And so I want to feed them spiritually and feed them physically. So Dave's there, and first time visitor, I go and I talk to him, and I find out that Dave's deaf. Dave can't hear. And so it's difficult. We're having a conversation talking with Dave. He wants to talk with me in my office. I'm like, I mean, this guy's big. And so I'm like, okay, all right. His paws are like, anyway. And so we go in my office, and I'm trying, he tells me this. He goes, I believe in God here. So he has a hard time talking, but he speaks. There's a new sign. I believe in God here, but I need him here. First time visitor. You know how he met our church? Mid Ohio Food Bank. Stood in line for 2 hours to wait for food about 3 months before that. And you remember me going up and shaking his hand, saying, just nice to meet you. And I remember him just engulfing my hand with his. I'm thinking, man. So we're talking in my office. How do you witness to a deaf individual? I don't know what to do. I have this pamphlet, Jesus Saves, and we're reading through it. And he wants to get saved. I said, well, I'm trying to explain to him. We'll pray and ask God to forgive you. He's like, I don't know how. He couldn't hear me. So I'm holding this track booklet and he's reading through it. And he gets to the point where he says, forgive me. And he just starts bawling. And he grabs me. He's squeezing the life out of me. And he is weeping on my shoulder. And I'm holding him up as his whole body's trembling. And he looks at me, can Jesus forgive me? I'm like, yes, David, he can. He can. You know, he hasn't missed a service since. Man, he got saved, and he wants to get baptized. So I met with him in my office. He's an emotional guy. We met last Wednesday. I have to say this because it's in the message. It's not in the message, it just happened. So I met with him Wednesday before service, Wednesday night. And after church, we're outside and he's upset. I'm like, David, are you okay? Are you okay, Dave? And he's a big guy. He's like this, his arms are out. And he's like, you see, he's a little slow also. In his whole life, he had been rejected. His father used to call him stupid, dumb. You'll never amount to anything. And he told me after service Wednesday night, he said, Pastor, I can't join your church. I'm like, yeah, David, we want you. He goes, nobody will like me. Nobody will accept me. I said, David, no, I love you, David. He's crying. You'll accept me? I said, oh, David, I love you. Yeah, we'll accept you. Your church will accept me? And I said, David, more important, Jesus accepts you. Man, he was there yesterday. Understand, it was cold yesterday. It was snowing, and the produce is outside. And he's loading up all these people's houses with produce, smiling. And he greeted me yesterday real quickly. He goes, you're my family. And he said, I'm home. It's your family. You're home. It's beautiful. Ladies and gentlemen, we make Christianity too difficult sometimes. We do. I love David and Sandy. So we go to that verse, at verse 5, having predestined us unto the adoption, I've kind of adopted Dave unto myself. He's a great guy. Nobody will mess with him. What's more beautiful is this. I have to say this. Remember I told you he sits right here, right? Michaela was sitting behind him one Sunday morning. And she's like, we're in the invitation, and he is just singing. He's deaf. And it's like, whoa, he's totally off key. But man, Michael and I, we're worshiping because it's his heart. Amen, it's his heart. He's just crying out. He's off beat. He's off everything. He's just reading. And he's putting, oh, ladies and gentlemen, it's about what Jesus can do in you. Amen? It's about what Jesus can do with you. We're wretched sinners saved by his glorious grace. We'll keep reading. Heaven predestined us under the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to himself. Here's the key thing. According to His good pleasure. You know why you're here? Because He wants you here. And it's His good pleasure. It's His good pleasure that you're here. Amen? That excites me. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. So you could say this, ladies and gentlemen. God has blessed you. He has chosen you. He has adopted you. He has accepted you, right? Okay, see, it's right here in the scriptures. He has accepted you, and He did it all because He wanted to. Doesn't that make you feel good? You know, this world wants to criticize, condemn, judge, all these other things, and God says, just come unto me as you are. And I will love you. And He wants to use you for His glory. What behooves me is this, though. Why? Why would God choose a wretch like me? Why? You see, we have to come to the realization, if you read in Job, I believe it's Job chapter 26 maybe. You know that we're I'm a worm. You know, the other day I was walking through our backyard. And I was going to feed our dogs. We have two dogs that live outside, and there's various reasons why. They're a great alarm system. And I was feeding my dog, and I had to flash it. I'm walking through, and it's like, I mean, there's worms. Like, it felt like the worm invasion. They're everywhere. And worms, I'm like, I don't want to step on any. It may have been an ancestor of Dan's, but anyway. But there's worms everywhere, and I realize that's what I was before Jesus found me. You ever notice when you have that flashlight, the worms, what are the worms doing when the light hits them? You see, a non-believer sometimes is afraid of the light. But ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is the light of the world to take away the sins. He's the Lamb of God. He is the light that illuminates all men, that all men may come unto Jesus. And so I have to remember, why would God do this with me? Understand my life. I did not live a godly lifestyle. Why? I was a worm. Isaiah said it this way. My righteousness is like filthy rags. If you look in Psalm 139, it's just amazing. I'll read it to you. You want to turn there if you like. Psalm 139. And it brings us a revelation as to really who we are. David reads this and writes this in Psalm 139, verse 1. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path, my lying down. He knows everything about me. He knows everything about you. Such knowledge, in verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I cannot attain unto it. I don't know it. But as you go through that psalm in verses 17 and 18, you see, even all my sin, my unrighteousness, my wickedness, His thoughts toward us are precious. You see it there in verse 17? They're precious. And they're more than can be numbered than the sand, the grains of sand. You see it? How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with You. God loves you. He's chosen you to be here today. If you're a Christian, He has accepted you into His house, into His beloved, into His glory. And if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, that's why you're here, is His Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you and teach you all things and illuminate you and let you see that you need a Savior. Ladies and gentlemen, I need a Savior. He rescued me. He delivered me. And He's my strength. He's the substance of my life, physical, spiritual, and eternal. He'll meet all my needs according to His riches and glory. He has created all things, and all things are created by Him, for Him. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants to use you for His glory. And He's chosen us to be of Him. Amen? We'll keep reading. Go to back to Ephesians chapter number 1. So, to the praise and the glory, verse number 6, of His grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Why? How could he possibly do this? Flip over a couple of pages to Ephesians chapter number 2, verse 4. Remember the wicked state that we were in, all the sin? Remember that? Remember the worm, the unrighteousness, trying to be religious and so forth? And then you come to the realization that I am a sinner. How many of you remember that? That's called a day of reckoning. Realization. Evaluation. You know what happens every day? How many of you know that we sin every day of our lives? And every day we need to take care of things. But God, verse number 4, I think it is in chapter 2. But God, who is rich in mercy, for with his great love wherewith he loved us. He's blessed us. He's chosen us. He's adopted us. He's accepted us. Right? He loves us. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. It's not by anything that we can do. It's only by the grace of God. And then verse number 6. And hath raised us up to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we're sitting here together, and we're in Christ Jesus. It's not a heavenly place yet. But one day, what a day that will be. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm so unworthy. I'm so unworthy. But I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that on July 9th, 1993, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And everything changed. Everything changed. By the grace of God, you're saved. So he has blessed us. He has chosen us. He has adopted us. He's accepted us into his grace. Look at verse number 7. It's through his blood in Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption. He has redeemed us. This is a crazy word. Redemption is to be bought back. You understand that God created all things, right? We already talked about that. And the light became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, right? John chapter number 1. All right? And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were created by him. You'll catch it later. John chapter 1. He created all things, right? He created us for his glory, and in our sin, we fell away, and then Jesus Christ came to bring us back. He's forgiven us. He has redeemed us. Redemption. Purchased us with the blood of on a cross of Calvary. Michaela said it. It was his blood that paid the price for us. It should have been me. But he said, no, I got this. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made unto us the mystery of his will. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Ladies and gentlemen, it's all about him. Amen? It's all about him. It doesn't matter if someone's mistreated me. It's all about him. You know, there's times we get hung up because we get mistreated. But we mistreated Jesus. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's all about him and for his glory. Forgiveness. I'll give you a quick definition. Forgiveness is to send away, to separate the sinner from his sin. God transferred our sin from us and placed it upon Christ as he hung on the cross. Redemption is to release a slave or captive upon the receipt of a ransom. He was purchased. Christ Jesus, right, came to ransom many. I would like to share another definition with us, if we could, please. We have to go back to the ransom, the adoption. Roman law, because remember when this was written, right? Can't forget, it was written a long time ago. Roman law with adoption. I want to read this to you really quickly. The Roman law for adoption was transferred. It transferred the legal authority of the natural father to the adopted father. Remember, we're all sons of Adam, right? And we fell into sin, right? Adam, you guys will catch that. were the children of wrath through the first Adam. But then the second father comes along and he purchases you on the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ. Adoption. In Roman law, here's what happens with adoption. The legal authority is transferred over to the new father, the adopted father. The adopted child is also an appointed heir to the father's inheritance. Let me just split it up this way. Authority. Authority in the adopted child's life. It begins internally, and it goes externally, and it continues eternally. Did you catch that? The adoption is internally. When we trust Christ as our Savior, we are purchased. We are redeemed from the bondage of sin, from slavery. Eternally, we are a new person in Christ, which is revealed externally. Paul said, work out your salvation with trembling and fear. Otherwise, let others see it. Give it a reason of the hope that lies within you and give it with reverent fear. Internally, externally, eternally. Be holy, for he that has called you is holy. Live it. Live it. When we struggle, confess it and be forgiven. How does this work? Well, ladies and gentlemen, chosen, adopted, accepted, redeemed, purchased, forgiven, a functioning organism. I want to share one more testimony, if I may, please, a story, and then we're going to wrap up. A dear couple, a friend of ours in Columbus, he called me last night. I remember the first Sunday we went there. His name is Dick, his wife's Mana. They're old saints, dear saints. They come into church and his bride was always on his arm. He's a great guy. He should have been dead a long time ago due to a car accident that should have killed him, but he gave his life to Christ. And he served and worked at Massillon Baptist College, a Bible college there in Massillon, Ohio. Served everywhere. Now he's in Columbus. He's at our church. But Dick and Mana would come into church, and she's been having a hard time now. They're up in age, and he hasn't been able to come to church for probably 3 months because he's taking care of his wife. And a lot of folks in our church don't know this, but about 4 years ago, I was talking with Dick and Mana at their home. And you know, Mana, she's blind for the most part, legally blind. And now I know why Dick would walk her into church like this. Because every morning he would do her hair, he would do her makeup, and he would dress her. And he did it because he wanted his bride to look good. Ladies and gentlemen, do you understand the work that Jesus Christ has to do to make his bride look good? He wants to work in your life to make you look good to his glory. It's all about him. I want you to pray for Dick and Mana. She's been ill. And he called me last night. I was here. We were going over music, and Neil and Carly were here, and Michaela, Dan. I had to take the call, and he's crying, just weeping on the phone. I had to call a couple deacons to go visit with him. He said, Pastor, I just talked with the doctors, and they said Mana's not going to be able to come home. We got to put her in a home. This is the love of his life. And I said, Dick, we're going to be okay, because one day we'll all come home. It's a coming home here at Monclova. It's time to come home. It's time to come home and get right with God. Maybe there's sin in our lives that hasn't been confessed. Maybe there's a bitterness. Maybe there's a lack of appreciation and gratitude for all that Jesus has done for you, and it's buried in your heart because of bitterness or something, because someone said something or someone has done something. Ladies and gentlemen, they slapped our Jesus and they spit upon him and they beat him and they hung him on a cross. For you and me, he never once was bitter at all. We have a righteous God. We have a loving God. And we have a just God. And his desire is for us all to come home.